Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Lonzo Ball continues to give some Chicago Bulls fans hope, saying that he is 70% and feels like he could play basketball today. But we're going to talk about why we still need to pump our brakes on that despite Lonzo Ball's claims. We're also going to continue our draft player profiles, this time looking at five of the best power forwards in this draft. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content. And so Lonzo Ball was on his podcast, this podcast that really kind of triggered a lot of Bulls fans, the fact that he got a pocket. I hate to tell you guys this, right? Just because you see a basketball player do something outside of training or playing basketball, it does not mean that they still aren't training and getting ready to play basketball. They do have a life. It is okay. I promise you. I promise it's okay. But outside of that, Lonzo Ball had comments on his return. Apparently, they're going to be doing weekly updates in regards to Lonzo Ball and how he feels about his return. And he said this.
All right, so we're going to start off today. We're always doing our weekly updates on Zoe, your injury. How you feeling? How close to 100% do you feel? And how's progress going with rehab?
It's coming along, man, week by week. It's improving, so that's all I can ask for. It's still not where I want it to be. Okay. Out of 100, I'd probably say I'm about 70, you know, good enough to play, but can still get better, I feel like. So still got a long summer ahead of me, but definitely looking forward to the future.
Now, I know a lot of people and outlets are going to take that 70% comment and run with it, right? That, Lonzo said that he feels like he can play now. That means he's still not clear to return to basketball. He's still not clear for 5-on-5. He's still not clear for actual basketball contact. He's doing some modified contact with pads as he's driving to the lane, things like that. And, you know, Lonzo Ball did say that he still has a long summer ahead of him because he still has a lot of benchmarks to make in the hit before he's officially cleared to return to basketball. So that's the thing you have to look at when it comes down to it. I get it. It's exciting. People want Lonzo back on the basketball court. But even outside of that, once he is cleared, you still got to deal with the fact that he has not played a game since January of 2022. It will be almost 3 years when he makes his return back to basketball. And so that is something you also have to look at when it comes down to it. He's still a long ways off before being cleared. And even when he does return, staying on the basketball court, the injury management, things like that, a load management that he's going to have on him, to not playing back-to-backs, it's going to be a long-term time before Lonzo is necessarily, if he can even get back. He had a very surgery. He'd be the first one to return with this surgery. Festus Ezeli had a similar surgery where he had a replacement of a ligament, whereas Lonzo had cartilage replacement, and he was never able to really be an impact player again. So, you know, you got to have those concerns when it comes down to Lonzo. But listen, Lonzo is progressing. We haven't heard anything about setbacks. This is the first time for this amount of time we haven't heard anything in regards to setbacks. So let's hope that continues and he continues down that path. And maybe he's able to relive his dream and continue playing basketball. And we'll see, even 70, if he is able to get back to 70% of who he was, that's still a damn good player. Better than Javon Carter. You know, that doesn't take much. But so let's hope that Lonzo continues this development path. And we'll see what that leads to at the beginning of the season. With that said, we're going to continue our draft player profiles. And we're doing power forward today. Now, this is a very thin position in this draft. Now, you have some combo 3-4s, right? You have some combo 4-5s that are kind of more centers. But as far as strict power forwards, this is a very thin draft of that. And I've been seeing a lot of you guys' comments say, well, the Bulls need power forwards. This really isn't a draft where there projects to be a whole hell of a lot of really good straightforward power forwards. Now, there's some players that can play that. Cody Williams, who I talked about yesterday, he's a wing, but he can play some power forward, you know, things like that. So we're going to get into this. Keep in mind, the first couple of players in this draft are probably going to go, in this list, is going to go in the first round. The other ones fluctuate between end of first all the way down to the second round. But let's go ahead and start it. So we're going to start off with a player that we've already covered in our center coverage, and that is Tyler Smith. Now, I said then that I had Tyler Smith on that list because I do think that he has some upside as a center at the NBA level with his, you know, 6'11 height, his wingspan. It just depends on how he can fill out that frame. But one thing that Tyler Smith can play right away is power forward. When you look at how good of a shooter that he is, the footwork that he has, the quick release that he has, the fact that he's made over already 40% of his threes, this is a guy who can play the power forward position and can be a modern power forward. Has some post moves, right? Not really, he's not going to get into really his post bag right away. You'd want to, work on that, but he has a nice fadeaway. He has a decent face-up game as well. He can shoot over defenders, especially with his length and size and things like that. Also, he can play a nice two-man game. When you look at the dribble handoffs that he's able to do, he's an effective role man, especially with his lobs that he's able to catch, things like that. He can dunk over defenders. He can finish through contact. That still needs a little bit of work on his game, but he does have those things there. And he's developing into a nice pick-and-pop player as well, so that's the thing. He also has that frame to be one of those players you can hope is going to develop into being a multiple position defender where he can switch, stay with some players, right? We know he has the leaping ability. He has a long wingspan. He can defend the rim. He's quick. All those things point towards him being a very switchable defender at the next level. But that gets us to our weaknesses right now. He has not been a great defender so far in his career. There are times where it looks like, especially in pick and roll defense, he just falls asleep or doesn't know what to do, where to go. So, you know, having a good communication on defense can help bring that along for sure. He doesn't have the best, you know, foot movement when it comes to defensively as well. He has good lateral quickness. This is why he really does project to be a solid defender. He just hasn't done it yet. And because of his lack of strength as well at times, he's going to get cooked by some of the stronger power forwards in the league. He's tough, right? But he's not necessarily strong. And so you expect maybe that to kind of work out his game as well over the time. And another thing, if he's not dunking, he does have trouble finishing around the rim. Not the best layup package or anything like that. He can handle some contact for sure, but he needs to work on that touch, I think, as well. Only 43% on layup attempts, at his attempts at the rim. So you really want to see that round out as well. So, you know, those are things that you want to see Tyler Smith work on. But, you know, he's a guy that I do have on my board that I don't mind for the Chicago Bulls. I just don't think he's not going to come in and necessarily be perfect right. Well, not even perfect. He's going to have some things he's going to have big struggles with right away. I wouldn't be surprised if foul trouble, something that gives him some trouble. But he's 19 years old, one of the youngest players in this draft. And if you trust your player development department, there's more than enough reason to believe that Tyler Smith is going to be a solid player for you. Next up, I want to talk about Tijane Salloun. Now, this is a French power forward, 6'9", 207 pounds. This is another guy who is very young, 18 years old. He'll be 19 the majority of his rookie year, 6'10", 205 pounds, that really good over 7-foot wingspan as well in that. This is a guy who can be a combo forward. Very high upside here is the pick with him, though. Super high upside. He's a really solid defender. He does not back around defensively. And with his length and size and lateral quickness, that's probably where he's going to make his mark for right away, is that defensive side of the ball. He can test shots. He gets his arms up. He gets in passing lanes. He gets all that active. His length and quickness and the mindset that he has, he's already an extremely versatile defender. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something he's able to do right away at the NBA level as well. He also had his season best career in his career of shooting threes last year. So he moves around the arc really well. He's confident now in that three-point shot as well and how that's developing for him. So that's a good thing to have there for him as well. And so as those things are developing for him, you like it. He needs to work on the jumper. He needs to work on the release of the jumper. He needs to work on the confidence of the jumper. But again, because he's able to do other things athletically, how he can be as a role man, as a defender, and the fact that he's a really athletic finisher as well, he's going to be really solid for you. He cuts with intention, does not back away in that case at all. And he's always moving, right? Moving without the ball. That's something that we really need on this Bulls team, is consistent movement without the ball. And because of that, you know, he shapes up that he could be really good for the Chicago Bulls as well. And so he has some pick and pop opportunity. I like he's raw offensively. Defensively, he's ahead of where his offense is right now. But I think that's some things. Weaknesses, he needs to work on ball defense some, right? Now, that comes with the strength, things like that. But again, because he's an active defender and he keeps his head up, I'm not too worried about that. Shooting off the dribble is a problem for him right now. Doesn't really create for himself. He has some turnover issues. He needs to work on his handle, which we've seen from forwards before. But I think if he can work on those things, it'll be solid, right? One of the bigger concerns with him as well, this is his first year being a solid shooter. Now, that could be a sign of positivity because of his age, only being 18 right now, 19 the majority of his rookie year, to where, you know, the fact that he's not creating for himself off the dribble, things like that yet, it's going to be okay in the long run. But this is a guy who I like his potential here. I like who he is as a player as well. And I think that if the Bulls were to go this is very, very high upside offensively, but he has a lot of potential defensively right away at the NBA level. And I know a lot of Bulls fans want to see players that can contribute right now, and he shapes up to do that on the defensive side of the ball and in transition, which kind of fits in with what we've seen Ayo and Kobe kind of strive at and be great at. And so for that, I really do like him. I don't know if he has upside as a center. I don't know with his frame you ever see him putting on enough weight, 207 pounds right now. So, you know, you got to worry about that a little bit. But again, extremely young.
Back to school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free July 30th through August 8th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Player with tons of upside. Overall, I feel pretty confident who he's going to be able to turn into at the NBA level. Next up, I want to talk about Tristan Da Silva. This is a 6'9", 220-pound power forward who played with Colorado in college. He averaged last season 16 points per game, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 50% shooting as well from the field. This is a guy who is drawing comps to Kyle Anderson, right? 39% three-point shooter as well, taking almost 5 three-pointers per game. This is a guy who can come in right away and be a scorer for you, both off the bench, in your starting lineup, whatever it is. He finishes around the rim decently enough. He has point forward potential. That's why the Kyle Anderson comps are there from draft experts, because he can make every pass that you want to, and you can run some off-ball actions for your guards because of what he's able to do being a point forward as well. So he makes smart entry passes. He makes smart passes as well. He can pick zone defenses apart with his ability to shoot and his passing as well. And while he's not the best on-ball defender, not a lockdown defender, he's a competitive defender. He does not back down defensively at all. Some of the weaknesses from Tristan: not an explosive athlete, not a bad athlete either, but you're not looking at him doing kind of the jumping out the gym, things like that. He has enough athleticism to where he's going to be, you know, solid enough, you know, to finish around the rim, things like that. He doesn't really do good catching lobs either in those cases, but it is what it is. And he's not the best rebounder. For his size and things like that, you would like to see him be kind of a better rebounder. But again, this is one of those type of players that has a very lower ceiling, but an extremely high floor in what he's going to be able to turn into. So because you're looking at him at potentially playing some point forward, especially kind of he can be somebody who can maybe lead that bench unit if you don't have a true point guard off of it, I like him. I think he can project to be an NBA starter. You know, I don't like to pick caps on players, but he's going to have to work extremely hard. But the way that he competes on defense, the way that how rounded out he is offensively, he's such a well-rounded offensive player already that you really, you know, you can see him having a long career in the NBA. And he's somebody that not a lot of people are talking about, but I do think that he could kind of rise up in the draft combine and things like that. He's only 19. So even the negatives that I listed for him are things that if you have a solid player development staff, which we hope that the Bulls do, maybe some of those weaknesses actually, I don't know if they ever turn into strengths, but maybe they turn into things that aren't holding his game back. And so Tristan Da Silva is somebody who I look at, and honestly, I could compare that he could probably have a Jaime Jaquez type rookie year if he goes to the right situation. Not saying that the Bulls are that right situation, but I could absolutely see him having that type of impact as far as for his team if he goes to a coach that trusts him, that uses him in the right way, as well as players that kind of uplift him, things like that, the right system. I think Tristan Da Silva could be somebody who may go a little bit underwhelmed in this draft as far as like lower, but he ends up being one of those players we look back and say, Did 20 teams really pass on this guy? So Tristan DeSilva, somebody who's really high on my board. I like him. Again, I wish the Bulls had a second round pick in this because I really do think him and kind of the next couple of guys we're talking about have the potential to maybe be there. Low first round, second round. But again, we're not talking about necessarily draft status here. We're just talking about best players at certain positions. Next up, PJ Hall. This is a 22-year-old, 6'10", 245-pound power forward center combo. He's drawn comparisons to Blake Griffin, kind of a little bit less athletic Blake Griffin. 18 points per game last year in college, 6 rebounds, 48% shooting from the field overall. Oh, and by the way, four and a half three-pointers per game, hit it at a 31% clip. Not a great clip, but the fact that he has the ability, if he's left open, to make that three-pointer is, I think, something that we need to take into account here. The thing with PJ Hall as well is that screeners, listen, he set picks at a level that you just don't see. And, you know, those one of those things that not everybody's going to appreciate, setting a good pick, but he does that. In handoff situations where the point guard is handing him off the ball, he makes smart decisions. He's a solid passer, dribbler, and shooter. He can lead the screen as well as be off that. He's a 78% guy from the free throw line as well. So the fact with his activity, with him getting to the rim, he's going to be able to hit the free throw at a really good rate. And 32% from threes, it's good enough. He's solid mid-range as well. He has that floater out there as well. So this is also a guy who, he's a solid fundamental defender. I can see him being a solid team defender. He has some issues sometimes in some of the things, but he's very active. You're going to see that in these highlights. He's a guy that I'm not necessarily worrying about being like a negative defensively, but he's going to get cooked sometimes. And I think that, you know, that you have that. It doesn't necessarily mean people are overall bad defender, but he is going to have sometimes his struggles. Some of the problems and negatives with PJ here, extremely right-hand dominant, doesn't have a left hand at all. Now, we've seen players get paid max-level contracts and not be able to go left, but that is something that you do want to see him kind of work on to kind of make that, fix that hole in his game some if he can. A little bit undersized at times at a center. That's why if he can, you know, play that power forward at the NBA level, I think he's going to be fine there, but can be a little bit undersized as well. And in pick and roll, he's slow-footed. He doesn't have the best lateral quickness in that. Like I said, he's an active defender, but not necessarily the best there. Not overly a rim protector either. If you're looking for a rim protector at your power forward position, he really doesn't do that either. And because of his inability, the fact that he doesn't have great length as far as the wingspan either, it's maybe something that AK passes up. But overall, PJ Hall has the offensive upside, the passing upside, basically everything on that offensive side of the ball, you don't have to worry about the upside there. The defense, he's active, which I think goes a long way in being an active defender, right? And maybe you can work that out as you learn and the game slows down to you and things like that. All right, let's get into the last prospect that I'm going to cover here, and that is Pacome Didet, I believe is how you pronounce his name. This is another French guy, 18 years old, 6'8", 210 pounds. This is a guy who this would be basically strictly upside. That's really what you could. He's a really solid shooter off the dribble as well. He has the mid-range. He has the floater. He has almost a three-level game. He's not necessarily the best at finishing around the rim. That's the only thing kind of keeping me from calling him a three-level scorer, but maybe he can do that. If he keeps going with that three-point shot, listen, he's going to be really good on that three-point shot, and that can help extend his game out there as well. Has good catch-and-shoot potential as well. Hasn't necessarily shown the best form according to some draft experts, but, you know, that's what you want to do. Also, he attacks off the dribble. He has a quick first step that allows him to get the rim, turns that corner against that defender as well, and he can finish with either hand, so that's a strong thing as well. You don't have that issue with, like, a PJ Hall, right? If him only going right, you have the ability for him to finish with either hand, and he has really good court vision as well. So some of that point forward potential is there as well. That's the modern day way we're seeing the power forward game go. So that kind of makes sense. And he's a smart. He has really good basketball IQ. So because of the understanding of the game, I could absolutely see him rounding out to a point forward as well. The wingspan that he has, the fact that he is strong, even with needing to fill out that frame a little bit, he does have the type of frame that you can see. Him adding some solid weight to and muscle, and that's going to make him a versatile defender. I would not be surprised if when it's all said and done, we're talking about a guy who can defend 2, 3, maybe even 4 positions, depending on how much weight he's able to maintain and keep. So this is a guy really that I like right now. The biggest weaknesses with him, he doesn't have the best control over the ball, which, you know, we have some of those issues already with Zach LaVine. I'm not saying he's that bad, but they are there as well. He doesn't always, while he has good IQ, He has solid court vision. Sometimes he's a little bit late on making the pass, which then leads to turnover. So you want to do that. He also kind of telegraphs where he's going to go with the ball. So you want to see that awareness kind of up for him if he's going to be a point forward. But again, with being 18 years old, I don't want to critique that too much because that is absolutely something that can round out his game. Now, some of the other negatives on him outside of his game is this would be a huge reach for the Bulls. Most mocks don't have him going until middle of the second round. But again, the power forward position is just that light that if the Bulls are looking for a power forward, I can absolutely see them going this direction. It just depends. So there's that type of question. And are the Bulls kind of going for something that can contribute more right now? I do think, like, you know, I don't know if he's the type of player Billy Donovan would play right away. Now, you don't want to make your decisions just on if Billy Donovan is going to play them right away or not. You kind of want to get the best player available. But, like I said, the power forward position is a really thin one in this draft, just kind of true power forwards. This is a draft that the centers are solid. There's some really solid guards. That's why you see a lot of mocks going to guards in this as well, and some very good wings. So that's where the strengths in this draft are, if there are any strengths in kind of a weaker draft. But these are the players that kind of stood out the most to me. You guys can let me know. You guys know I'm also going to do some of the ones that miss. This isn't it. We're just going position by position right now, and we'll have more draft coverage throughout the rest of this time leading up to the NBA draft. We're going to cover a lot of prospects. Typically, I cover between 30, 35 prospects, so definitely be on the lookout for that. We're going to keep covering these guys. If there's anybody you guys really would like me to hear, don't hesitate to ask. But that's my thought on the power forward positions. Let me know what you guys think down below. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.